So that's a picture from conference. So on the platform there is Glenn Barrett, our national leader, Mark Wiltshire, who is the chairman of the board, who manage all the sort of governance and charity, and Kirk McAteer speaking. He's our missions leader in Assemblies of God. He's an absolute firebrand. This is a view from where we were sitting, and this view would probably give you a better idea of just how packed that room was, full of people praising God, full of people who were hungry for the Holy Spirit to move, hungry to hear God and what he was saying. And I just wanted to highlight one thing, and it's already been touched on today. And so for me, one of the most significant things I heard was not through a preacher, but it was actually somebody who was leading a service and was linking what had come before and what was about to come next. And they talked about how the children of Israel were going to cross the Jordan. Do you remember that story where they're about to, under Joshua, move into the promised land, and there's the Jordan River in the way? And what happened was that God performed a miracle in that he stopped the flow of the Jordan River. And this is what really struck me, is that he stopped the flow of the river 18 miles upstream at a place called Adam. And this is what I felt God say to me in that moment, and it was the first night of conference. What I felt God say to me was that the miracle's already happening. It's already happening. We've just not seen it yet. And that was bookended at the absolute last session of conference, and this is a picture of my notes from that, where it says, this is what the speaker said, God is about to do a new thing, but it's in its infancy, and the devil wants to destroy it. And I thought, wow, God's about to do a new thing. Where have we heard that before? I know I keep talking about it, and I know we keep pressing into it. And sometimes we're like, well, where is the new thing? Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And I felt what God was saying to me. It's already started. It's already happening upstream. And there's a little asterisk on my notes there. That's the little bit that's underneath. And it's all happening upstream in the heavenlies. And I wrote down the wee reference to Ephesians 6, where it says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. It's already happening. And what happens is that God moves in the heavenlies first. There's a spiritual war that's been waged, and it needs to be won in the heavenlies before we see the effect of that on the earth. If you don't believe me, read the book of Daniel and you'll see it happening in the book of Daniel. But we've set our face to seek God and to see God move in our church and in our community, the communities that we represent. There's a number of communities represented in this room today and online. And we want to see God move. And so I just want to encourage you, church, that what we are talking about in church week by week was reinforced as we were at conference. Now, what does that say to me? It says to me that God is speaking not just to us, but he's speaking to the church. And if we will listen and obey what he says, then God will bring the blessing that we've been praying for. And I want to encourage us. Bobby, we're praying every week, and prayer was a real emphasis in our gatherings. Every time we gathered, prayer in the presence of God. What have we been talking about? Prayer in the presence of God. We've been praying for prodigals. We've been praying into the things that God wants to do. And when God gets his church praying, then God is about to move. So I want us to just be encouraged about that as we keep moving forward. And also just that, I don't know if you tuned into the coronation yesterday. Did anybody watch it? One or two people watched it. So that's a photograph of the dignitaries, the religious dignitaries coming in to Westminster Abbey. And circled there is Glenn Barrett, our national leader, who was invited to such an auspicious occasion. I think it's amazing that we, the Pentecostal churches, get recognised, that we get to be part of a national event of such great importance. And that really encouraged me. So God is on the move, and Assemblies of God is growing in the UK. I'm encouraged by that. And we are part of that and part of what God wants to do. So let me just pray for a moment before we turn to God's word as we think about today more of the Holy Spirit. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we pray, still our hearts to hear your word. Lord, we pray that you would silence anything in our minds that would seek to distract us today, the worries, the cares, the concerns, Father, even the practical things about what's coming up this afternoon, the things that might get into our minds and cause us not to hear your voice. Father, we pray that you would just put everything else on mute, Father, so that only your voice is heard in this place today. And Father, I just ask that you'd help me to share what's on your heart for this service today. Lord, we pray that you'd increase our hunger for you, increase our hunger for your word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So we have thought in recent weeks about the Holy Spirit in creation. We've thought about the Holy Spirit in the new birth as we become Christians for the first time. We've thought about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit brings conviction into our hearts. And that was a bit of a downer, that message, wasn't it? Was it? Maybe this message is a bit of a downer. Are you okay? Is everybody okay out there? Just checking. Okay. You're allowed to say amen. Okay, nobody wants to. That's fine. And today I want to just think for a moment about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is the middle message of a number of messages I'm speaking on in the Holy Spirit. And if you've read the Psalms, you'll know sometimes in poetry that the most important thing in the Psalms is right there in the middle. Well, this is the middle message. And for me, this is one of the most important things that we need to learn about the Holy Spirit, is that God wants us to bear good fruit. And what did Jesus say? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have wonderful services, that your praise is really loud, that you have long prayer times, that you have love one for another. That's the distinguishing mark of the disciples of Jesus, is that we love one another. And that's a challenge, because we have different personalities, we've come from different backgrounds, we've come to faith from different places, and let's be honest, sometimes we can rub each other up the wrong way, can't we? Okay, so we've got that established. That happens, but the Holy Spirit comes into us in order to help us to rise above those things. Coming up, we're going to think about the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to think about the Holy Spirit at Pentecost as we approach Pentecost Sunday. And there's a reason for that. At the end of the month, we've been having what's known as encounter evenings. And I sometimes wonder how hungry people are to encounter more of Jesus. If we have a night where there is worship in the church, where we come together to worship God, to encounter his presence, and then to begin to pray that we encounter what we're needing, whether that's healing, whether that's to be baptized fresh in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, whatever it is that we need, are we hungry for it? Because the only place we're going to get our real hunger fulfilled is in him. And so we have the encounter evening coming up at the end of the month on the 30th of May. And I encourage you to think about coming along to that. Now I'm going to read a few scriptures that are up there on the screen. Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to highlight this particular verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature, the old nature, with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. That's that old fleshly part. When we use the word flesh, it can mean lots of different things, but in this case, I'm talking about the old nature, the sinful nature, that part of us that rises up when somebody pulls out in front of us and we're in the car and we blast the horn and we start shaking our fist and saying, have you no got eyes, you big dafty, right? That thing that rises up within us and we go, that's the old nature, just to clarify, okay? Not that that happens to any of you, that only happens to me, okay? But we have to put on something new. And we almost like clothe ourselves with it, but it comes from within, if you can get the two different analogies here. Colossians chapter 3 says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Never pray for patience, okay? Let me tell you, never pray for patience. If you pray for patience, you're asking for God to do something in your life that you don't want him to do, okay? Just try and master that one on your own. Okay. Bear with each other and forgive each other whatever grievances you may have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. If things are robbing you of your peace, it's maybe an indicator that something's wrong. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him, encouraging us to bear fruit on the inside, the fruit that we talked about. And Paul uses a different analogy. It's like putting something on. It's like clothing ourselves with these incredible qualities: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and putting on love, which binds them all together. I don't know about you. I want to exhibit these qualities because out of all the heroes that I've had in my life, there is one who stands the test of time, and his name is Jesus. And he exhibited these qualities. And I want to be like Jesus. Do you want to be like Jesus? Are you sure? Do you want to be like Jesus? I'm just needing a wee bit more encouragement and a wee bit more convincing, okay? I want us to think just for a little second about what it means to emulate, to be like somebody else, to imitate somebody else, to identify with somebody else. Imitation, they say, is a form of flattery. And it's a good form of flattery, I think. And I want us to think just about this whole thing about being clothed for a little second. What are we? We're all dressed today, thank goodness for that, okay? This isn't Adam and Eve in the garden, thankfully. And we put on clothes, and sometimes the clothes that we put on, we do that because we're influenced by something. We're influenced by someone, and we want to emulate. Maybe it's... I've been told that guys like brands. Is that true? Do the guys in here like to wear brands? I'm not going to mention brands because I'm not doing free advertising for them online, okay? I'm not going to do that. But I want to just use a personal example to go back to when I was a teenager. And one of my favourite bands, and I still like this band, I just don't listen to them as much as I used to. They're called U2, okay? I was a massive U2 fan when I was a teenager. I know there are some people who are not U2 fans. That's okay. That's totally okay. But for me, these were my pop idols of the day, rock idols of the day. And I wanted to emulate my rock idols. And so what did I do? I clothed myself in the same way as my rock idols, okay? The Edge, who is the guitarist with U2, well, is Derek here today? Is he not? He's not here today. Derek's a U2 fan as well. And just getting the guitar cranked up and getting the delay pedal on and trying to copy the Edge's songs and looking like the Edge as well. And I came across another photograph just recently amongst my dad's slides. It's one that he took out in the back garden of our old house. And there it is. Trying to emulate my rock heroes. That time I was trying to emulate Bono, who's the lead singer. Man, such a handsome young man. Mary, I now know why you couldn't resist me back in the day. I'm telling you, I couldn't resist myself either, looking like that. I'm only joking. And think about it, we like to emulate our heroes. We do it all the time. And I remember one time I was watching this one of the Spider-Man movies. And it's one of the Spider... I don't know what's so funny about that. Okay. So I just want to confess in front of everybody in the church and the whole world online that I do not have a Spider-Man outfit, okay? I do not have a Spider-Man outfit. But in the Spider-Man movie, there's a moment where Spider-Man has kind of lost his way. He's kind of saying, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to be the superhero anymore. And It's right at the end of the movie when a new bad guy appears. He's called Rhino, if you've seen the movie. And Rhino's there, he's about to cause havoc. And what happens is this little child steps out in front of Rhino with a Spider-Man movie, with a Spider-Man outfit on. And see, in that moment, I'm watching the movie and I've got tears rolling down my eyes. So I'm like, go for it. You go for it. Spider-Man's just removed himself from the building, but you go for it. And what happens is that Spider-Man comes alongside and stands beside him. And Spider-Man says, you go and see your mum. And then Spider-Man deals with the bad guy. And I just think that for me encapsulates what I'm talking about here. It's when we, especially when we're young and impressionable, we want to emulate our heroes. Who more than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to emulate? He is my hero. And he is, for me, the hero, the one that I want to emulate. Peter said this, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. It's actually that when he says clothe yourself, the image that he's trying to convey here is getting yourself tucked up in a blanket. Who likes to have a wee blankie when they're sitting on the sofa at night watching the telly? There's people in our house like to have a wee blankie and get tucked up. It's like cozy, cozy, cozy. And that's what he's trying to say. He's saying, clothe yourself, get yourself wrapped up in humility towards one another. Romans chapter 13, 14 says this, rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine that. It's hard to conceptualize if you think about that analogy about imitating your heroes. We're asked to clothe ourselves with Jesus so that Jesus surrounds us, so that when people see us, they see Jesus in us. They see the Lord Jesus Christ before they see us. I wonder, who are your heroes today? Who are the people that you admire and look up to? It might be a musician. It might be an opera singer. It might be somebody who writes poetry. It might be wee Jeannie around the corner because she's just a lovely wee person. And Jeannie, if you ever think of coming to a church, you're welcome here. And as we get older, we still want to emulate our heroes, I think. But it may be less about how we look, but and more about their qualities, their values, their beliefs, their attitudes, the wisdom that they carry. Do you know, there are people that I met at conference this week. I could quite easily get really emotional thinking about it. There's a man who stood up on the platform. His name is Paul Weaver. He used to be the general superintendent of Assemblies of God back when I was coming into ministry. And Paul Weaver, for me, is one of my heroes. And I want to be like Paul because he's such an amazing person. And I said this to Paul a number of years ago, that the reason I'm here doing what I'm doing is because of what he shared one night in a service. People that we admire, people that we look up to because of their qualities, their values. And I think by bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we're emulating or imitating Christ, who was full of the Holy Spirit. And people knew it. People knew it. People could see the Holy Spirit all over Jesus. And I'm almost out of time. I haven't even got to my first point yet. But this is my first point. Fruit comes from the root. If we want to bear spiritual fruit, we need to realize that fruit in the natural comes from the root of the plant or the tree. That's where the fruit comes from. We're encouraged to remain in Jesus. If we want to be fruitful, if we want to bear the fruit of the Spirit, Jesus says this, I am the vine, you're the branches. If a person remains in me and I in him, they will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Does it say apart from me, you can do something? It says apart from me, you can do nothing. I recognize, folks, that I can't do this without Jesus in me. And we can't do the things that he asks us to unless he lives in us. The Bible talks about being rooted and grounded or established in love, for God is love. We read that in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. And John went as far as to say this, whoever does not love does not know God. Wow. Let's be challenged by that for a moment. If we do not love the people around us, how can we say that we know God? How can we say that we're a Christian if we're not exhibiting that basic of fruit, love, that binds them all together in perfect unity. So we need to be rooted and grounded in Him, to remain in Him, to allow Christ to live in us through His Spirit. This is what Ephesians 3:17 says, the other part of it, the first part. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We need to have the Holy Spirit living in us. Jesus lives in us through the Spirit. Now, the root is unseen. If you try to dig up the roots of a plant or a tree, what's going to happen? It's going to die. It's going to wilt. The roots are unseen. And so it is with us. There's an unseen aspect of our lives that we need to consider. And we thought about this last week. And I hadn't planned to say that last week, but I thought I'd reiterate it this week. There are three selves. There's the public self, there's the private self, and then there's the secret self. And where God wants to come and meet with us is in the secret place of the heart. And I talked last week about confession. If we want to make the secret place smaller, what do? It's not a trick question. If we want to make the secret place of our lives, what do? Smaller, what do? We confess. And when we confess, it comes into the public domain, and it comes through our private self, okay? It comes through our private self. It's got to go through the process. We've got to process that, and we've got to come to a place where we're ready to share. But what happens is that secret self becomes smaller, and the public self becomes larger. Does that make sense? If you share a secret, it's no longer a secret. It's out in the public domain. And therefore, the public self becomes the predominant. And I said last week, you're only as safe as your secrets. If we want to get ourselves really on fire for God, we've got to deal with that secret place. And that's where the Holy Spirit wants to work in us. And we have to consciously do that. So, fruit comes from the root. It comes from the inside as the Holy Spirit lives in us. And a fruit is the mark of maturity. And if you want to read more about this, there's some books by Donald Gee, who is one of our Pentecostal pioneers. And he wrote a book on the gifts of the Spirit. I'm pretty sure he's written one on the fruit of the Spirit. I just couldn't find it. But I found this quote in my notes from the last time I spoke about this. I don't know if I've got a physical copy of the book, and I was looking for an electronic copy. Anyway, that's by the by. But fruit is a mark of maturity. And Donald Gee says, when he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, he says this: this all goes to prove that there is a real power in the fruit of the Spirit. It's the quiet influence of a beautiful life. Rather than the rushing power of a fiery ministry, and it comes from communion and not from crisis. Do you know what is that saying to us? Donald Gee, who is moved in the Spirit, who has been used by God in the gifts of the Spirit and all sorts of amazing things, one of the pioneers in Assemblies of God, who has taught widely through his time and generation, he's saying that we need to be fruitful. And he's saying that fruitfulness is actually more important in terms of Christian maturity than giftedness. And it comes from communion, not from crisis. When he talks about crises, he's talking not so much about bad things happening, but those dramatic moments in our lives. I can talk about dramatic moments in my life, and I will do in the weeks to come. But he's talking about those moments where we're walking with God day by day by day. Communion is about abiding in Him. We've already read that from John chapter 15, verse 5. It's about living in Him and Him living in us. Do you know, in my garden, I have a fruit bush, which is just in its infancy. I've probably had it at this height for about 4 years now. And to all intents and purposes, on the outside, it looks mature. But when summertime comes, I look at the fruit and I go, what the heck is this thing? I still don't know what it is. I know what it should be because its leaves look like the leaves in that one, and that's where I took it from. But why does the fruit not look like that? Because it's not reached maturity yet. It looks the part on the outside, leafy and bushy, but I'm waiting for the fruit to mature in it. And it's like that with us. We come to faith in Jesus. We can even be filled with the Spirit. We can speak in tongues. But there's a process of maturing that comes as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, as we stay close to Him. Lastly, and very quickly, fruit is an identifier. We know what kind of tree it is by its fruit. I've just told you about the bush in the back garden, and I still don't know what it is from its fruit. But there'll come a time when it matures, hopefully. We know each other by the fruit that we exhibit. Not when everything's going well. It's when things aren't going well, when the stuff of life happens. And that's the true test of the fruitfulness. That's the true test of what's going on in the inside. Somebody used this example years and years ago, and it stuck with me. When you squeeze the toothpaste tube, what comes out? Sorry? Toothpaste. When you squeeze the toothpaste tube, that's what comes out. And like it or not, and I've heard this, and sometimes I don't like it, because when the squeeze is on me, I'm like, why am I like that? Why do I keep doing that? Why do I keep saying that? Why do I keep reacting that way? Because that's what's on the inside, and when the squeeze is on, sometimes things come out that we don't like. Or is it just me? Oh, dearie dear, thank you, Lord. It's not just me. I thought it was just me. When the squeeze is on, what's on the inside comes out, and that's where the transformation needs to happen, on the inside, so that when the testing times in life come, what comes out? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. These wonderful qualities. In a sense, I'm interested in people moving in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm really interested in that, and I pray for that often. But on the other hand, I'm really, really concerned about people exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, because that's the real mark of maturity. Young Christians who are newly saved, who've still got stuff to get sorted out, can be filled with the Spirit and doing all sorts of weird and wacky and wonderful things through the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? But have not matured in their faith yet. And we're all, in a sense, maturing. We're all maturing. We're all in the process. The true test of spiritual life is the fruit. And what is the fruit? Let's just remind ourselves. Love. To love the unlovable and to forgive the unforgivable. What's the opposite? The opposite is hate. And we don't think of ourselves that way, and I hope we don't. Joy. Joy in the middle of trials. What's the opposite? The opposite of joy is despair. In the middle of our trials, when our head goes down, and we're like, oh. And then Jesus comes along and he lifts our heads and we go, oh. Joy in the midst of our trials. Peace, deep down in the inside. And I think the opposite of peace, you might disagree, the opposite of peace is disconnection. I don't know about you, when my peace is robbed, it's where I feel disconnected from God or disconnected from myself. Peace, if you think about the Hebrew word shalom, is about completeness and complexity. Complex things being complete, joined up, connected together. When I'm joined up in the inside and connected together, I'm at peace. When I'm not at peace, I'm disconnected. Patience in difficult situations and with difficult people. There's no difficult people in this church, is there? Is there? You're saying, aye, the guy who's up front talking to you. The opposite of patience is irritation. Do you know, I've got a pair of slippers in the house. And see, when there's a wee tiny, tiny thing, it's like that story of the princess and the pea, except I get things in my shoes and I'm like, where did that come from? You take your slipper off and rattle the thing about till the wee thing comes out. It's like irritation. It's like, argh. That's the opposite of patience. Irritation. Does anybody in here get irritated? don't put your hands up, okay? Kindness, to those who do not deserve it. I think the opposite of kindness is being mean. Goodness at the deep level of the heart. The opposite of goodness is wickedness. Faithfulness, even when it costs us. Even when it costs us. See, when you say you're going to do something, do it. And I know sometimes I fall short of that. Public confessional time, here we go again. Why, Lord, do I have to say all these things in front of everybody else? There's a saying, always over-promise and under-promise and over-deliver, okay? Rather than the opposite way around about. It's hard because we want to please people. And we say, yeah, I'll do that, and then we don't do it. It's like, ah, done it again. What's that song? Oops, I did it again. Anyway, faithfulness rather than self-centeredness. Gentleness. that marks our character. The opposite of gentleness is brutality, and we see a lot of that in our world just now. Self-control, control of our passions and desires, rather than aimlessly drifting through life, gratifying the nature, the old nature and the sinful nature and all that kind of stuff. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How do we do this? We do this by staying close to Jesus. Every day, we need to read the Word, and we need to allow the Word to read us. As we read the Word, we go, oh, that's interesting. And then sometimes we read the Word, and God says to me, that's for you. And you need to just pause for a moment and reflect on that and reflect on your life. And I'm like, thanks. Oops, I did it again. We need to pray. We need to ask. We need to seek. We need to knock. We need to wait on the answer. When we ask God for something, we need to wait on Him to speak and give us the answer to the thing that we're talking about. Ask God to fill you with His Spirit, His personal presence every day. Lord, here I am again. I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. Fill me with your Spirit every single day. And I think I've told this story in the church before about the time I was eating an orange. Have I told this story? And when I was eating the orange, I saved a wee pip from the orange. And I planted the wee pip in a pot. And what happened? The little pip became a little shoot. And the little shoot grew up and began to sprout leaves. And it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew. And then one day, a tiny little thing appeared on it, which was the beginning of an orange. And I watched this orange grow. We lived in a place where there were big greenhouses. It was a tropical house. And this is where it was. And I watched the orange grow and grow and grow and grow. And I was excited for the moment where I would go and pick the fruit off the orange tree. It was the only orange on the tree. And I thought, it's nearly ready. And so I went out to the big greenhouse to get the fruit off my orange, and it was gone. Somebody stole the fruit. Exactly. Dirty rotters. They obviously weren't from around these parts. Somebody stole the fruit. And I just, as I was thinking about today, I wanted to say, don't let anybody steal your fruit. Okay? Don't let anybody steal your fruit. Other people will try to steal your fruit. As we rub up against people, as we come into contact with people, as we experience situations in our workplaces, in our homes, wherever we find ourselves, there will be people who will try to steal our fruit. Don't let people steal your fruit. Don't let it happen to you. It's so easy to allow people to control our lives and to steal the fruitfulness of God in our lives. Don't let anybody steal your fruit. Don't let the world steal your fruit. Honestly, this world would rob you of your joy in 2 seconds flat. You'll go home discouraged. You'll go home deflated. You'll go home thinking, what is the point? Because this world will rob you of joy in an instant. Don't let the world rob you of your fruit. Lean into God. Lean into all that He has for you and receive from Him. Allow Him to fill your heart with the fruit of the Spirit. Don't let the devil steal your fruit. The devil will try to steal your fruit. Do you remember that little picture from the notes that came up on the screen there? It's in its infancy, and the devil's trying to kill it. Behold, I do a new thing. God wants to do new things in you. And the devil will try to kill it. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal your fruit. To kill you off and to destroy your life. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life in all its fullness. And all its fullness means all its fruitfulness. And today I want to just finish off by saying this. As the leader of the church, I can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. Another leader in the church can't do it for you. No one else can do this for you other than you yourself. It's a decision you make. If you're struggling with it, you say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. Please help me. Lord, I'm struggling to pray these things. Please help me. Lord, I'm struggling to bear fruit. Fill me so that I bear fruit. The ball is in each of our courts. Only we can take responsibility for ourselves. The God channel can't help you. Songs of praise can't help you. All these things, good as they are, can't help you. The ball is in your court. And that ball is in your court every single day. It's a choice you make. And if you're struggling to make that choice to invite Jesus into your life every day, to allow him to fill you with his Spirit, then pray about that very thing. But I want to encourage us, church. We need to need it enough. We need to need it enough. We need to be hungry enough. Is anybody in here physically hungry today? Anybody's stomach rumbling? I could do with lunch. There's a few nods. I could do with my lunch too, yes. When there's a hunger inside us, we want to satisfy that hunger. We do it by eating something or drinking something. We satisfy the hunger. God will come and fill us if we're hungry. But it's only the hungry people that God will fill. If you're not hungry for it, God won't come and fill you. God only comes by invitation. The Holy Spirit only comes by invitation. And so today I want to challenge us. If you're hungry, God will fill you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness because they might be filled. Well, I'll think about filling them. No. They will be filled. If you're hungry and thirsty after the things of God, you will be filled. It's as simple as that. I've said this so many times. The Christian faith isn't that complicated. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. It's really simple. Abide in me and I'll abide in you every day by prayer, by meditating on God's word. It's really simple. So hard to do though, isn't it? It's hard to put into practice. Let's close our eyes just as we pray, as we close off our service today. Do you know, maybe there are some people in here today and you're thinking, what is this guy talking about? Maybe people online. Maybe you've never invited God into your life ever before. Never. Then today you can do that. It's a simple prayer away. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And you can pray this prayer silently into your heart after me. But you need to tell somebody that you've prayed it. Go and tell somebody, your friend who's brought you here today, somebody that you're sitting with when you're online just now, whoever it is, come and tell somebody. And it's a simple prayer to invite God into your life. And then I'm going to pray for us as a congregation. So here's this first little prayer. You pray this after me if you've never done this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you can change me on the inside, that you can make me a new person. Today, I ask that you come in. I open my life to you. I open my heart to you. Come in. Make me clean. Make me whole. Give me this new life in Jesus' name. And if you say amen to that in your heart today, make sure you tell somebody, because it's in our heart that we believe and with our mouth that we confess. And Father, I pray over this congregation. Lord, there are people in this congregation who need miracles. Father, there are people in this congregation who need to be healed. Father, who need a miraculous healing, who need the Ruach of God, the personal presence, the Spirit of God to come and to hover over them and to create new life in their bodies. And Father, we're asking for a release of gifts of healing today. Father, that healing would flow in and through your church today. Lord, family members who need healing. Lord, there's so many people that I hesitate to name them. But Father, I pray today for Derek. Lord, I pray for healing in his body. Deep healing, Father. Regenerative healing. Father, where you'd create something new and something fresh in his body. And Father, as I prayed last week for my old work colleague, Stuart, Lord, I pray for him again today. And Father, ask that you would just impart something miraculous into his body. Father, that you'd bring complete healing. And Father, that you'd more than that, that you bring him into a knowledge of who you are. And so, Father, I just lift him before you. Lord, so many other people, either here today or not here today because they can't be here today. Lord, just people in our church who need a touch from you. And Lord, we ask that your power would move in healing. And Father, that you would just demonstrate your presence. And Lord, I pray for each one of us this week. Father, I pray that our lives would be transformed from the inside out. Father, that you would take us from glory to glory. Lord, that you would accomplish your plans and purposes in us and for us and through us. Lord, we ask, help us to stay close to you. Lord, this week when we find ourselves in the workplace or the school or the college or the university or in our home or down the street with our neighbours, Father, wherever we find ourselves, Lord, we ask that you'd strengthen us and help us to be the people that you want us to be. Lord, people are needing miracles in this church today. Father, for situations which seem impossible, Father, for a transformation in that situation. And Father, I'm just lifting various situations to you today. Lord, some that I can't even mention from this platform. Lord, that your hand would be upon these situations. And Father, we pray for a complete transformation and turnaround in those situations. And so, Lord, we're praying that you'd move in miracles. Father, that you'd just demonstrate your power in this world. Father, we're praying like Jesus asked us to pray. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we pray, may we be the conduits that you work through. Father, may heaven come to earth through your church, through us, as we surrender to you, as we give our lives to you afresh today. And so, Father, we just pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you, and may you have an incredible week, and may you just be drawn into his presence day by day, and may he fill you with his Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.